Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that are listening over other devices and later are recording, Saba blessing everyone. Saba blessing Brother Josh. On this Sabbath, May 18, 2024, this is our review of our chapter 80 entitled In Joseph's Tomb, part 2 of our lesson 408. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with a tiny talk hymn entitled, Give of Your Best to the Master. It's number 572 in the hymn book.
Give of your best to the Master, of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. He gave him for your devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master, give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service, consecrate every part. Give and to you shall be given, God is beloved, son gave. Gratefully seeking to serve him, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth, clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master, naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above. Laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth. Dressed in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. We are going to ask the little ones to open their review section with prayer. By the help of their parents, you may take the chance to do so, dear one.
Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Keep us like the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Make thanks for thy labor and do not all thy work. And the Sabbath day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect us all by people who's not here and who is here. Please protect the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. The Sabbath stuff that we're going to learn from the little ones and the big ones. We're going to pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are going to have the time to listen to all the little blessings that the little one has been in their household with mommies and daddies, family members, or even with their peers at their school or in their neighborhood. May you take the mic to share dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For today's mother's little helper, mommy's and daddy's little blessing, I'd like to highlight my son, Keon. I'm highlighting Keon, because Keon, by God's grace, was able to, help me out. This week, both Haley and Emma had a school trip. They each had to go separate places, and I could only be with one of them. And so by God's grace, I was having a little bit of like a worry because I didn't want one to feel bad and the other to feel bad. I tried to ask Dad to fill in for me, but he already had, work planned out. And so I was there trying to think and ask, others if they can help. But, the Lord made me call Keon and ask him, while he was on his way to work, do you have work tomorrow? And it was pretty last minute. And he said, no, I'm off. And I said, is it possible if you could please go with your little sister to this field trip? And he said, okay, Mom. And that was a blessing to me. It alleviated so much of my worries, being that I couldn't be there. And it allowed me to go and focus on the trip with Emma. And he went and focused on the trip with Haley. And that was a blessing to us all. They were able to have their time together as brother and sister, and Emma, mommy, and daughter. And by God's grace, it worked out that next week, if God spares our life, that I'll be able to go with Haley on her remaining trips. So that was a blessing to me. So I want to take a minute to just highlight him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other family member that would like to be able to share their blessings in the household? You may use the mic, dear ones. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. It is time to review our story time section with the dear children of chapter 18 entitled Before Annas and Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin part 3. And I will pass the mic to our dear brother.
All right. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Isaiah and also Matthew. Isaiah 53 verse 7. Says he was oppressed and he was afflicted. That's Jesus. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And in Matthew 26, verse 63 and 4, then Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, you're right, I am. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He was foretelling his second coming. And telling his persecutors that they'd get to see it. But they won't like it. Many charges were brought against Christ. But either the witnesses disagreed. Or the evidence was of such a nature or type. That it would not be accepted by the Romans. They tried to make him speak in answer to their accusations. But he appeared as if he heard them not, or had not heard them. The silence of Christ at this time had been thus described by the prophet Isaiah. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The priest began to fear that they would fail of obtaining any evidence which they could bring against the prisoner before Pilate. They felt that one last effort must be made. The high priest raised his right hand to heaven and addressed Jesus in the form of a solemn oath. This is what they do in court. I adjure you by the living God that ye tell us whether thou be the Son of God. That's in Matthew 26:63. The Savior never denied his mission or his relation to the Father. He could remain silent to personal insult, but he ever spoke plainly and decidedly when his work or sonship to God was called in question. Every ear was bent to listen, and every eye was fixed upon him as he answered, "Thou hast said." In the custom of those days, this was the same as answering yes, or "It is as thou hast said." This was the This was the strongest form of affirmative answer. A heavenly light seemed to illuminate the pale countenance of the Savior as he added, "Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Matthew 26:64. This is taken from the story of Jesus, pages 115 and 16. I may have told you once before, I'll tell you again. There is to be a special resurrection as Christ is far away coming, where all those who've died in faith of the third angel's message and the most wicked people who fought his kingdom throughout history and these priests are going to be raised to life so they can see him come. They won't like it, like I said, but he said you'd see me and he will raise them to life so they can. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part 4 of our lesson entitled Before Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin in our Tiny Talk lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place on May 25th, 2024. I'm going to hand back to my Claudia brother so he can give the review question to.
All right, in review, what was the silence of Christ at this time?
If the answer is for number 1, it had been thus described by the prophet Isaiah.
Yes, the prophet Isaiah said he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And Christ, for the most part, did not talk, did not answer the questions he was asked. Under the Jewish rule of law, the prisoner was not allowed to condemn himself. So what did the Savior never deny?
His mission or his relation to the Father.
Right. Many times throughout his ministry, those two things were called in question. And he never denied it by ignoring it or saying anything against it. He was here to witness for his Father. And when he was asked or required to answer that question, he spoke up, even though it hurt his case, we would say. What was answering yes in the custom of those days?
The answer for number 3 is Thou hast said.
Thou hast said. Yes, they answered differently than we do now. If we said that today, probably the judge would say, what I say is not what's important. I want you to say, answer it in your own words. And your own words would have to be yes or no. But he said, thou hast said, and that meant yes. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brothers. It is time for parents and, I guess, and the little ones to be able to review the lesson from God's creation in our topic, Mammals of the Bible. Let's have our listening ears, little one, and we will pass it to our dear brother.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Our Bible verse our review today is taken from the book of Matthew chapter 10, and we still continue the lesson to teach us to pray. Verses 5-8 says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. For when ye pray, use not in vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. Position of prayer. Where have our brethren obtained the idea that they should stand upon their feet and praying to God? Do not stand up in your Pharisaism and offer your prayers to God. Second Selected Messages, pages 311 and 314. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Matthew 6:5. In Bible times, if the hour of prayer came, and the Pharisee was on the street corner in the synagogue, he would stand and pray in a loud voice. This caused people to notice and think he was very religious. God tells us, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Matthew 6:6-7. Vain repetitions means to speak stammeringly, to say the same thing over and over again, to babble, to rattle off, or to speak without giving thought to what is spoken. How carefully and reverently our words should be. They should be thought out before we speak. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. Matthew 6:8. God knows all about us, so why do we need to pray? It helps us to submit our wills to work with His will. Even for evening worship, that's what the photo of this mother and these two children are doing. It says below the picture, as we talk of Jesus, as we call upon Him in prayer, our confidence that He is our personal, loving Savior will strengthen, and His character will appear more and more loving. He may enjoy rich peace of blood, and as we fully believe that we are His by adoption, we may have a foretaste of heaven. Wait upon the Lord in faith. The Lord draws out the soul in prayer and gives us to feel His precious love. Sons and daughters of God, page 311, paragraph 2. You mean Matthew 6:5. In Bible times, if the hour of prayer came and the Pharisee was on the street corner or in the synagogue, he would stand and pray in a loud voice. This caused people to notice him and think he was very religious. Kneeling helps us to become humble and submit our wills to the Lord. It is important to follow the examples of Christ and the good men in the Bible as to our position in prayer. Next is our nature experience review segment for the last Sabbath from our dear families. Up here is pictures of turkey vultures, and there's, and on the left, it's the info about them. Their scientific name is Carthetis ar. When one thinks of the bird life along the coast, they may not immediately consider they're a large scavenger. I mean, this large scavenger. But as with any ecosystem, scavengers are an important element to nature's eternal cycle of the moon. The turkey vulture's diet consists only of carrion, so they can be commonly found at the edge of roads, feeding on roadkill, or picking away at dead marine animals washed up on local beaches. Their large wingspan allows them to float on thermal updrafts without expending much energy. Even at great heights, their superior sense of smell can detect ethyl mercaptan, a gas produced by rotting bodies. Once found, the birds will congregate the air by large numbers. Their Latin name means purifier. Intelligent and curious birds, vultures live and roost in large groups, although they would generally forage alone. In terms of reproduction, females are generally laying no more than two eggs, which she and the male will take turns caring for. The chicks break out of the eggs in about 30 to 40 days and are cared for by their parents for the next 11 weeks. The parents and young will flock together throughout the following fall, then part company permanently. Range and habitat ranges widely throughout Oregon, across North America, as far north as Canada, and south to the tip of South America. Roosts are commonly in trees, cliffs, burrows, caves, or on tall buildings. Over here are pictures of cherry blossom trees, and then the in the bottom right corner is a picture of a cardinal on one of their branches. It says above pictures, the trees that wave their green banners in the sunlight and the flowers in their delicate beauty point to their freedom. The living green that carpets the brown earth tells of God's care for the humblest of his peoples. You should use healing page 411. In the middle right, says cherry blossom tree and the bird cardinal. They play an accidental, though essential, role in pollination. Both plants and animals are dependent on pollinators. www.nfs.gov/articles/birds-and-cherry-blossom-trees-html. And below says cherry blossoms trees or flowering cherry trees belong to the genus Prunus, which includes not only cherries, but also plums, almonds, peaches, and apricots. The genus is part of the Rosaceae family. Many species and cultivars of flowering cherry are used for their blossoms, with Prunus, Cerulata, or Japanese cherry being one of the most popular for ornamental use. In www.garnia.net/genus/Prunus-cherry-blossom-tree. In these pictures, there's our red butterfly Shamrock houseplants. Well, one of them. And, well, the one on the top is a red butterfly Shamrock houseplant. And the one below is the butterfly purple Shamrock houseplant. It says Oxalis regnellus, or Shamrock plant, refers to a smaller specimen, which does not often reach over 6 inches. Delicate flowers blossom on and off during spring, winter, and fall. Its clover-shaped leaves come in a variety of shades. Some people think that these plants bring good luck. The leaves of this plant fold up during the night and then open up when the light comes back. When you grow Oxalis houseplants, their dormant period lasts from some weeks to even 3 months. Usually, it depends on the growing conditions and cultivar. Once the dormancy breaks, the new shoots come up. During that time, you need to move your shamrock houseplants to areas that receive bright light or near a sunny window. Resume to care for the plants, your reward with some attractive blooms and foliage. Found in alofgarden.com/shamrock. This next picture is a picture of a bird-shaped flower on the left. It says here that the hummingbird looked like was first described in the early 1800s. A botanical scientist named Adam Cunningham noticed the unusual plant and recorded its use. The bird-shaped flower's natural habitat is northern Australia, although you can find it in central and west Australia, too. This plant loves dry and semi-dry areas. There's been a long debate where the plant's flowers intentionally evolved to look like birds. This could have been essential to their pollination and survival. Camouflage is nature's number, one way to cope with predators. Additionally, the characteristic look raises the flower's value and makes them ideal for trading. Scientists agree that even though the human eyes perceive the flowers as birds' lookalikes, animals don't see them this way. Our brain has a diverse judgment process. As a result, we tend to find resemblances in few shapes. Plants look like hummingbirds. What is that? The beautiful Australian shrubs shaped egg like a hummingbird. Nature never ceases to amaze us. From fascinating species and colors to a plant that looks like hummingbirds, on a continent that has no hummingbirds. Due to its unusual flowers, the green bird flower drew the public's attention merely a few years ago. What's even more surprising is the native country of this charming plant. Australia doesn't have hummingbirds, yet has a unique plant that looks like a bunch of hummingbirds off stream. A plant in question is known as the green flower bird or regal flower bird. Quetelaria cunninghami is the stunning plant's scientific name. It's a member of the legume family that includes chickpeas and alfalfa. The perennial shrub is native to inland northern Australia, where it thrives along sandy dunes. Its ties to Australia are quite ironic, so that no hummingbirds live there. Back to this original pretty tree, the sapphire tower supers. Teal plant tree is a bromeliad. Below it says the flowers are variously described as sapphire blue, teal, and turquoise blue green in color and have bright orange anthers. Bees and hummingbirds are attracted to the flowers by the abundant amount of nectar they produce, and the birds sit on the sterile branches between the flowers to feed. The color of the long lasting flowers is very unique in the plant kingdom. It makes sapphire tower or a focal point in the garden. It's drought and heat tolerant and recommended for use in xeriscape. The Puya alpestris flowers or teal bromeliad is a family to the pine apple. The bee hummingbird, when fully grown, measures about 2 inches or 5 centimeters and weighs about 1/10 an ounce. Or 3 grams. Their nest is the size of a walnut shell. As a bee hummingbird is very small, so God wants his people to be small and self-serving and large in giving. The large ostrich is too big to fly, while the tiny hummingbird is unsurpassed in the way it can move around, flying forward, backward, upside down, up and down, from side to side. This plant type is succulent, and the pleopatra's leaves bloom. Teal flowers or ornaments are produced on heavy stalks in spring. Info from www.karensgardentips.com/plant-profiles-outer-grow/plant-profile-sapphire-tire Pluia alpestris. Here is the teal tower flower tree, the hummingbird of Puya alpestris. We too need to be strong in knowing God and serving him while we are growing up. Or someday, like the young hummingbird, we all leave the nest. We want to be like Elijah, the widow, and her son, and be faithful to God. We will be faithful if we are. And this small info concerning hummingbirds says we have have learned that the hummingbird is the smallest bird, builds the smallest nest, and lays the smallest eggs. The ruby-billed hummingbird's nest is built high in the branches of the trees. She builds her nest of shreds of bark, soft grass, and bits of plant from cattail fluff. She sometimes covers the outside with lichen and bits of bark. This helps camouflage her nest. God kept Elijah camouflaged so Ahab and Jezebel could not find him. The female lays two tiny eggs of the size of navy beans. The young hatches in about 2 weeks. The babies have no feathers when hatched and cannot see. In about 3 weeks, they have their feathers and are strong enough to leave the nest. Continuing our reference reading for the mammals of the Bible in our lesson. Chapter 32. Proper attitude and prayer. Second selected messages, book 2. I have received letters questioning me in regard to the proper attitude to be taken by a person offering prayer to the sovereign of the universe. Where have our brethren obtained the idea that they should stand upon their feet when praying to God? One who has been educated for about 5 years in Battlefield was asked to lead in prayer for before Sister Light to speak to the people. As I beheld him standing upright upon his feet, while his lips were about to open in prayer to God, my soul was stirred within me to give him an open review. Calling him by name, I said, "Get down upon your knees. This is the proper position always." Second Selected Messages, page 311, paragraph 1. As he is withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, I kneeled down and prayed, Luke 22:41. Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, "Tabitha, arise." As she opened her eyes, when she saw Peter, she sat up. Acts 9:40. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 7:59-60. Second Selected Messages, pages 311, paragraphs 1-4. Continuing, on bended knee, we hope that our brethren will not manifest less reverence and awe as they approach the only true and living God than the heathen manifest to their idol deities, for these people will be our judges in the day of final decision. I will speak to all who occupy the place of teachers in our schools. Men and women, do not dishonor God by their irreverence and pomposity. Do not stand up in your Pharisaism and offer your prayers to God. Mistrust your own strength. Depend not on it. Depend not in it. But often bow down on your knees before God and worship Him. Second Selected Messages, page 914, paragraph 1. And when you assemble to worship God, be sure and bow your knees before them. Let this act testify that the whole soul, body, and spirit are in subjection to the Spirit of Truth. Who have searched the Word closely for examples of direction in this respect? Who can we trust as teachers in our schools in America and foreign countries? After years of study, shall students return to their own country with perverted ideas of the respect and honor and reverence that should be given to God? I feel no obligation to honor the men of gray hairs, the men of experience, the chosen servants of God, who have been connected with the work of God through almost all the years of life. So I advise all who attend the schools in America or in any other place, do not catch the spirit of irreverence. Be sure you understand for yourself what kind of education you need, that you may educate others to obtain a fitness of character that will stand the test that is soon to be brought upon all who live upon the earth. Keep company with the soundest Christians. Choose not the pretentious instructors or pupils, but those who show the deepest piety, those who have a spirit of intelligence in the things of God. Second Selected Messages, page 314, paragraph 2. Fear no quickly, folks. Method number 7. In your review are 3 bonus questions. Children will find the answers. There's in the reading and in the Bible. Question 1 is, where did Jesus say we should not pray? You find the answer in Matthew 6:5. Question 2, where should we pray? You find the answer in Matthew 6:6. Question 3, what is the meaning of vain repetition? The answer is in the reading. And I'll give them my thoughts on.
Welcome to all of the dear brethren that have come in. And remember, little ones, give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Glad in salvation, full armor. Join in the battle for truth. Our opening song is a hymn entitled, Because He Lives. You can also find it in the hymn at number 526. If you would like to join us singing the hymn, dear ones, you can unmute your mic to do so. God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth living just because He lives.
How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I remember, little ones, He died 2,000 years ago, and He lives. He's in the most holy place. He's mediating for you and I and all of those that fear and love Him. Just remember, little ones, that He lives. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies or elder sibling would like to open the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. Please protect us. Please protect me and my mommy and my daddy and my uncles. And please protect this half day that we're going to be learning. And please protect the way that we're going to learn. And please protect the people that's here, the people that's not here, that can come back to the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear one. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, King James Version, and it's a memory verse song as well. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For ye are dead. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God. So what have we learned and ways we have grown, dear ones, before we hear your answer to your questions or anything you would like to share with the Dear Remnant family? We will take a few minutes to read part one of our lesson and part two of a lesson entitled In Joseph's Tomb in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones?
The Desire of Ages, page 770. But the Jewish leaders were unchanged by the events they had witnessed. Their hatred of Jesus had not abated. The darkness that had mantled the earth at the crucifixion was not more dense than that which still enveloped the minds of the priests and rulers. At his birth, the star had known Christ and had guided the wise men to the manger where he lay. The heavenly hosts had known him and had sung his praise over the plains of Bethlehem. Continue on the next slide, please. The sea had known his voice and had obeyed his command. Disease and death had recognized his authority and had yielded to him their prey. The sun had known him, and at the sight of his dying anguish had hidden its face of light. The rocks had known him, and had shivered into fragments at his cry. Inanimate nature had known Christ, and had borne witness to his divinity. But the priests and rulers of Israel knew not the Son of God. The Desire of Ages, page 770, paragraph 4.
The Desire of Ages, page 771. Yet the priests and rulers would not rest. They had carried out their purpose in putting Christ to death, but they did not feel the sense of victory they had expected. Even in the hour of their apparent triumph, they were harassed with doubts as to what would next take place. Next slide, please.
Continuing, they had heard the cry, "It's finished. Father, into thy hands I command my spirit." John 19:30, Luke 23:46. They had seen the rocks rend and had felt the mighty earthquake, and they were restless and uneasy. Desire of Ages, page 771, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 771. They had been jealous of Christ's influence with the people when living. They were jealous of him even in death. They dreaded the dead Christ more, far more, than they had ever feared the living Christ. They dreaded to have the attention of the people directed any further to the events attending his crucifixion. They feared the results of that day's work. Next slide, please. Continuing. Not on any account would they have had his body remain on the cross during the Sabbath. The Sabbath was now drawing on, and it would be a violation of its sanctity for the bodies to hang upon the cross. So, using this as a pretext, the leading Jews requested Pilate that the death of the victims might be hastened, and their bodies be removed before the setting of the sun. Desire of Ages, page 771, paragraph 2.
Continuing the reading. Pilate was as unwilling as they for the body of Jesus to remain upon the cross. His consent having been obtained, the legs of the two thieves were broken to hasten their death, but Jesus was found to be already dead. The rude soldiers had been softened by what they had heard and seen of Christ, and they were restrained from breaking his limbs. Thus, in the offering of the Lamb of God was fulfilled the law of the Passover. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover. They shall keep it. Numbers chapter 9, verse 12, Desire of Ages, page 771, paragraph 3.
The priests and rulers were amazed to find that Christ was dead. Death by the cross was a lingering process. It was difficult to determine when life had ceased. It was an unheard of thing for one to die within 6 hours of crucifixion. The priests wished to make sure of the death of Jesus, and at their suggestion, a soldier thrust a spear into the Savior's side. Next slide, please.
Continuing, from the wound thus made, there flowed two copious and distinct streams, one of blood, the other of water. This was noted by all the beholders, and John states the occurrence very definitely. He says, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Next slide, please.
Continuing. Go ahead, sorry.
And he went back.
take that out of your mouth so you can read. Thank you. Saul.
Saul. It.
Mm-hmm. Bear.
Bear.
Record.
Record. And.
His. Record.
Record. Is.
True.
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 Mm-hmm.
And he.
Knoweth.
Knoweth.
That. That. Mm-hmm.
He.
Saith.
Saith.
True.
True.
See, the word repeating.
True.
What is it, Jay?
That.
Mm-hmm.
Like reading it. Why? I mean, that. Why?
Ye.
Ye.
Might.
Might.
Believe.
Believe. Or.
These.
These.
Things.
Things.
Were.
Were.
Done.
Done. That. The.
Scripture.
Scripture.
Should.
Should. Be.
Fulfilled.
Fulfilled. A.
Bone.
Bone.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Saul.
Him.
Him.
Shall.
Shall. Not. Be.
Good. 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 Broken.
Broken. And.
Again.
Again.
Another.
Another.
Scripture.
A scripture.
Saith.
Saith.
They.
They.
Shall.
Shall. Oh, that's the easy one.
Yeah. What do you do with your eyes?
Look.
Mm-hmm.
One.
On.
On.
Him.
Him.
Whom.
Whom.
They.
They.
Pierced.
Pierced.
John.
John.
90.
19. 19.
Verse.
30.
Mm-hmm.
First.
34.
34.
Through 30.
37.
Good. Desire of ages. Page 771, paragraph 4.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good job, everyone. So what have we learned and how we have grown? We are going to read the questions that we held from the first part of our lesson. And if those are not able to see, if you would like to share your question or your comment, you may unmute your mic to do so. Number one, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And our last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it in the room, dear ones, you could go right ahead. And if it's not, you could use your mic. Who would like to take number one, dear one?
The main character here we see is Jesus. We also saw other characters. The priests and the rulers. We saw here the Roman soldier mentioned again. And we also saw that Pilate was also mentioned. The main idea. Go ahead, Josh.
The answer to question two was the main idea for the central story, the Jewish leaders being unsatisfied with Christ's death.
Number three, where did the story take place? It takes place on the cross, Calvary.
The answer to the question for when did the story begin? This part of the story is when the Jewish leader is being changed, unchanged by the events they witness. So my answer to question five, how can you relate to the story? What I could see was what happened if Jesus came according to scriptures and resulted. It was the part where the soldiers pierced his sides and then water came out of one part of the body and the blood came out the other. It was just as it described, and also even though the priest is the one Jesus God, they still felt that it wasn't enough for them. They got where they were hoping that would satisfy their anger and jealousy, but it still didn't bring them satisfaction. With person or people or being corrupt, even the death of a person they hate still doesn't feel like they've achieved anything.
For number six, as I was reading, I realized that everything that was done after the death of Christ, in terms of every procedure and action that was done, a lot of it was done because of custom and tradition, but in reality, everything was prophesied in the Bible, and it was done according.
Amen. So everything that was done, even the prophecies that were being fulfilled, even the disciples, of the priests and every person that took part, they were still fulfilling the scripture, knowing that everything works it for good. It doesn't matter what it was that they were doing. As they were actually doing what they taught, they were doing for the purpose of their own personal use. They were also fulfilling the scripture as well. Is there anyone else would like to be able to share before we go on?
Just wanted to add something that stood out to me. The very same people that the message was given to initially were so blind and so lost that they could not see and do what they were supposed to do. That even the very nature, it says inanimate nature, basically acknowledge the Son of God. That was very interesting to me. The rocks crumbled, the sun hid its light. Those were so deep, and the very people that were supposed to be able to have the light and rejected it. This morning we were talking about, before we kick things off after the Spanish study, about the unpardonable sin, which was blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And we delved into the word blaspheming and what it means. And we found out that it had quite a few meanings, but in this particular sense, it was to reject the Holy Spirit. And these people blindly and willingly rejected the Son of God. This was something that correlated in my mind as we reread the lesson just now. And that's what I just wanted to share.
Amen. Praise the Lord. In this story of the little children, I also got to see something that was very beautiful. Here, when Christ was silent, I was looking that the same person that gave them those laws was the one that was brought under the judgment by these men that was supposed to be depositories. And even he did what it was that they refused to do. The silence that he had when he was being questioned. Whenever he spoke when they had the doubt concerning who he was. He didn't deny his father. He didn't deny his mission. And especially, he did not spoke to please, but to be able to stand in the principle. And in the part of our children, the children messing with Joseph too, also you can see that all of the elements had testified he was creator. And the ones that were created in his image didn't have no idea who he was. We are going to continue. If there anybody else that would like to share their ones, you may unmute your mic. Otherwise, we are going to continue our lesson. We have thoughts and poems and also special music. Our thought is taken from a devotional book, Lift Him Up, entitled A Special Distinguished Sign, and that is page 139, paragraph 2-7. And the opening scripture is taken from Exodus 31:16-17, and it reads, Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
In this scripture, the observance of the Sabbath is specified as a special distinguishing sign between God's people and the people of the world. This gives to parents a most solemn work, the work of teaching their children to obey the Sabbath commandment, in order that they may be numbered among the people of God.
Lift Him Up, page 139, paragraph 2.
In Exodus 19, we read, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Lift Him Up, page 139, paragraph 2.
Wonderful.
The decision is this.
God offers to make the
Israelites
his
peculiar treasure.
If they obey his
law
and
glorify
his name.
Observe
the
response.
They made to these words.
Good. Lift Him Up, page 139, paragraph 4. Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. All this instruction was placed by the elders before the vast multitude assembled. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Manuscript 152, 1901. Lift Him Up, page 139, paragraph 5.
We cannot overestimate the value of simple faith and unquestioned obedience. It is by following in the path of obedience in simple faith that the character obtains perfection. Adam was required to render strict obedience to God's commandments, and no lower standard is presented to those who desire salvation today. Christ says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." John chapter 14, 13 through 17. The world is leagued against the truth because it does not desire to obey the truth.
Shall I who perceive the truth close my eyes and heart to its saving power because the world chooses darkness rather than light? Letters 119, 1895, Lift Him Up, page 139, paragraph 6. The secret statues which Satan has hated and sought to destroy will be honored throughout the sinless universe. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 342, Lift Him Up, page 139, paragraph 7.
Reflection. Look up, not down. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. The church, endowed with the righteousness of Christ, is his dispository, in which the riches of his mercy, his grace, and his love are to appear in full and final display. Christ looks upon his people in their purity and perfection as the reward of his humiliation. Continuing, reflection. In the supplement of his glory, Christ, the great center from whom radiates all glory. Desire of Ages, page 680, Homebound, April 28.
All heaven is interested in the work going on in this world, which is to prepare men and women for the future immortal life. It is God's plan that human agency shall have the high honor of acting as co-workers with Jesus in the salvation of souls. One industrial school, what was that in the wilderness, having for its instructors Christ and his angels? In the preparation of a sanctuary, and in its furnishings, all the people were to cooperate. There was labor for brain and hand. Thus in labor and in giving, they were taught to cooperate with God and with one another. And they were to cooperate also in the preparation of the spiritual building, God's temple in the soul. Education, page 37.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to read our poem. It's alphabetical, acrostic, and it's talking about Jesus kept the seventh-day Sabbath from children activity, book year 2, quarter 3, lesson 11, from page 296, from the Sunlight Education Ministry of the Homeschool from the Bible. Who would like to take number one, dear one?
Number one. Letter A. Are all the commandments kept?
beginning with the first letter C, can men say yes and none accept? Letter D, do they their maker serve?
Even in this land of Christian life, F, forgotten is God's word. G, God spake from Sinai's rugged height. H, have you not heard?
Number three. I, in Exodus have ye not read? J, just and he spake it there. K, keep thou the Sabbath day. He said, L, let's look and find it there.
M, must man have thus forgotten God? N, not to keep his holy day? O, they have in the papist's word, P, put trust and strayed away.
Five. Q, questioned what God himself did say. R, revealed by his own hand. S, saying that Christ hath put away. T, the fourth, the great command.
Six, you unchanging are his precepts still. V, vengeance he soon will take. W, without a doubt he surely will. Y, yet they the Sabbath break.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And a special music is taken from the Holy Scriptures from chapter 14, verses 15 to 17 in the book of John. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he sees him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And I will leave you comfortless, I will come to you. We have went over a little bit, dear one. So we are going to have the opportunity to share testimony after our services. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, it will be May 25th, 2024. We will have our lesson 409 of our chapter 80 entitled In Joseph's Tomb, Part 3. If any one of the dear brethren would like to have closing prayer, may you unmute your minds to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most holy name. Father Jesus, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for this beautiful day that is turning out here. I pray, Father Jesus, that everyone will be enjoying wherever they are because it is the Sabbath day. Be with us now as we are here. Thank you for all the blessings. Thank you for all the participation of the children and their parents, Father Jesus, continue to bless us. Be with us as we move to the next sections of the study. Continue to pour down on us the blessings, Father. Help us that our minds will be stayed on you this day. Be with the speaker, I pray, in no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In no other name than our dear blessed Savior. Amen. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. And may you have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.